You are tuned to CICK News on 93.9 FM in Smithers. CICK News is your news source for regional and provincial news Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. It's hosted by Dan Messick and myself, Pamela Hassan. Find and follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com and frequencynews.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. CICK News is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada.
Today on CICK News, earlier this week, Wet'suwet'en Hereditary Chief Nate Mox joined a growing group of Cape physicians and other Indigenous leaders in Vancouver to call on the provincial government to do more to protect communities from the health impacts of gas development and flaring. Here's my conversation with Chief Nate Mox, fresh from Vancouver. Stay with us.
I am Hereditary Chief Nate Mox of the Wet'suwet'en Nation, and I am from the Tsayu, the Beaver Clan of the Wet'suwet'en, and I'm calling from my home here in Tekya, Eglogan.
Great, Chief Nate Mox. Thanks so much for being with us here on CICK News again. Of course, as I mentioned, you were just in Vancouver with a number of physicians from Cape, as well as nurses and other hereditary leadership, Indigenous leaders from the Northwest here. What were you guys doing in Vancouver, and why were you there?
Well, we wanted to bring to the forefront the health risk for all along when it comes to oil and gas industries, and then the effects on communities and the amount of money that's putting in to support this industry, and they're not putting enough into the medical care itself. Like, how many emergency rooms have we had in shutdowns? And then we also learned that, like, a lot of the physicians that are in these areas that are affected by oil and gas pipelines, et cetera, flaring, they are moving out of those communities for their own health. So that's another issue that's never been addressed. All they want to do is say, these projects are in the best interest of Canada. But what about the best interest of the Canadians themselves?
Yeah. Nate Mox, tell me, who you joined with and whereabouts in Vancouver, what was the message that you were trying to send and to whom?
We were joined by, Dr. Melissa Lamb, who actually worked in Rensch Memorial Hospital here for a number of years and throughout the Northwest. She is the Executive Director of the Canadian Association for Physicians for the Environment, as well as members of CANE, which is Canadian Association of Nurses for the Environment. We had engineers that have formerly worked in that industry to talk about what they had discovered and health risks to the workers. It was quite a vast and varied group, as well as, you know, Tara Marzen from the Gitignol on their reports to, you know, the environment. We had our youth from the Lakeship Firekeepers, Grace Vickers and Drew Harris. And there was elected chief, executive chief, and other people there, like Kaina Gatta from Dogwood, and then Jesse Stopper and myself. So it was varied, and it was, you know, to have the presser and then the panels on such a varied angle and viewpoints of what is happening and why these here projects are being forced upon us without any consultation or public input. And, you know, if you actually even think about this here major projects office they have, they handpicked who's on that. They're not worried about what the public thinks. They just want people that agree with them, and we'll sign off.
Nimox, you know, obviously our listeners know that there is a natural gas pipeline, the CGL pipeline, running through the territory. It is feeding gas to the LNG Canada facility and obviously shipping that LNG to Asia now after quite a number of tankers have come and gone. You know, this is happening in Kitimat, and there's flaring, and I've been hearing stories of people, you know, having some respiratory issues since the intense flaring has begun. But what are you hearing from your communities? You know, clearly there aren't any flaring stacks or any sort of emissions coming from this in particular in your community. But what are you hearing from some of the folks, your membership and folks within your clan, about some of the concerns that they have around some of what you just talked about?
Well, first and foremost, what they're doing to the environment, which affects everybody's health, you know, contamination of the water, the destruction of the environment itself, and knowing there are no long-term plans. These things are simply for money. So they basically put a bounty on every human's head. For what? Profit that is not going to last. There is no profit. There is no market for it. They keep on saying, oh, we sent these ships out, but there is no market. I haven't seen if you look at LNG ships themselves, they have the big bubble tanks on top. No, these are flat deckers. This is just publicity saying, oh, we shipped out LNG. A very minimal amount because they haven't got what they need.
You mentioned the special projects wing that is being developed in Ottawa that's going to take a look at these national interest projects, as you mentioned. One of them that was at the top of the list was the expansion of LNG Canada's facility into phase two to see more LNG shipped out from Kitimat. It looks like that may go ahead. At least from the government's perspective, they're going to try to push that forward. You know, what would you say to that once we actually start seeing more of these tankers coming through Kitimat?
Well, again, they're not looking at the health risk to the people that actually live there. You know, to them, we're just a little tick on a checkbox. That's all we are. They're not looking at the humans, the people that live here, the people that want to live here forever. And actually, when they talk about expansion, they haven't got the investment in there. Like right now, it's just a publicity stunt. If they say at one time they're going to, in excess of 270 ships or whatever, coming out of Kitimat, and what have they had so far? Have they even had one-tenth of that? One-hundredth of that? No, they haven't, because they'll keep on saying this is a done deal and Canada supports it. We'll put millions of dollars into it, and we won't put money into things that will be forward-thinking. It's just a stunt, and people need to realize they got to use their voices. They got to look at the facts, got to look at the figures, and stand together and say, no, we live here, we want to look after where we love, and we want a future.
One thing that supporters of, obviously, oil and gas production credit is the fact that there's good jobs that come out of this. Good jobs in places that often don't have a lot of options, you know, Kitimat Village being one of them. You know, from folks I've spoken to there are a number of people who have jobs within the industry. Obviously, there's money flowing into the community, you know, seeing new infrastructure and whatnot. You know, what would you say to that, that there is, you know, this other side of the equation where, you know, we are seeing local people getting jobs out of this, Indigenous people getting jobs out of this. How do you kind of square that, knowing that there are a lot of health risks that come with this type of development?
Well, again, it goes back to putting a price tag on the heads of the local people that live there. Sure, there are some local people working, but most are flown in. Look at all the man camps we have. Those are not local people. When they say there's local jobs, it's actually short term if you actually think about the length of time. Out construction to the length of time to being operating, it is not going to be local people. So if they got jobs, good for them, but guess what? It's not going to be there forever. In the construction, like a coastal gas tank in our area, 2 years and that was it. Then our people were the first ones laid off. You know, they're put into jobs such as housekeeping or kitchen helpers and stuff. And that was it. It was not long-term at all.
Just the last thing for you, Namox. You know, this is, you know, quite the presser on Monday in Smithers and in Vancouver. Clearly, there's been a lot of this chatter over the last number of months. There were two physicians from CAPE that even published a op-ed the other month, you know, about some of these concerns and that the government needs to take notice. What would you like to see coming out of this going forward, noting that, you know, there are a number of these projects that are slated to continue and the government in Ottawa and in Victoria seem quite supportive of it? So, you know, where do you see this going? What would you like to see happen?
Well, I'd like to see them take these health risks seriously. They really do not cover it at all. They never discuss it. And often, and it always goes back, the shortages that we have of healthcare workers, and it's going to get worse and worse. Now think about, you just talked about construction workers coming in. What about the pressures on our people who live here when they need medical help and have to stand in line? Because guess what? The priority is going to be people that they brought in to work on these projects. Why can't they take the millions upon millions of dollars and invest it into our future healthcare? You know, we are going to have pregnant ladies affected. We are going to have birth defects. That's proven. That money needs to be in protecting the future, not killing us.
All right, Amox, we'll leave it there for now, but thank you so much for your insight again, and we'll stay in touch on this subject as it progresses.
Thank you so very much.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or check us out on the web at smithersradio.com. CICK News has been made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to my colleague Pam Hassan and all of our roving journalists, I'm Daniel Messick. Thanks for listening.